Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast. And I don't know about you, but I am tired. I have dark circles under my eyes. I have not been sleeping enough. I'm working too hard. And I thought it was a perfect opportunity for all of us to learn more about dark circles. What causes them? Is it fatigue, insufficient sleep, or natural aging process? So let's learn all about the causes, the treatments, and the insights about dark circles. You definitely can be born with dark circles as a hereditary condition. There can be issues in terms of what appears under the skin, how the skin itself looks, and how the volume reflects light. So dark circles are a definite sign that makes you look tired, indicates fatigue and insufficient sleep. You certainly look more tired when you're dehydrated and your nutritional quality is poor. But remember, sometimes it can also be attributed to medical causes. Dark circles can be caused by allergies. Sometimes the medical causes of dark allergies must be addressed. So if you have nasal allergies, allergic rhinitis, polyps in your nose, asthma tendency, thyroid issues, these are all things that can give you dark circles. Remember the sinuses and the nose, they drain through veins that travel around the nasal area. The infraorbital veins can sometimes be super congested and back up and plug up with edema because of nasal sinus congestion. So if you suffer from allergic rhinitis, you may get venous pooling under the eyes. And these dark blue veins can show through the thin skin of the under eye area as a bluish hue or discoloration that reflects tired darkness under the eyes. That is very common. Remember, the under eye skin is the thinnest skin of the body. It does not have sufficient dermal thickness and support to help camouflage some of those veins that travel under the eyes. So I always look at patients who have allergies, discuss if the weather bothers them, ask them if they get sneezy, puffy, itchy, runny nose, allergy symptoms. If so, an antihistamine every day like a Zyrtec, a Claritin, and Allegra is going to be so beneficial. And using a nasal steroid spray like a Flonase or Nasacort, which are now available over the counter, is also so beneficial. When that's applied intranasally, the topical nasal steroid will decongest the sinonasal membranes, allowing the sinuses to drain better, allowing that backflow in the veins to improve, and reducing venous blockage and venous pooling under the eyes. We call those allergic shiners when people have dark circles under the eyes. Think about also thyroid issues. That can definitely impact your eyes, whether it causes bulging of the actual eye and too much white sclera showing, or whether it gives thin creping and dehydration under the eyes. And then think about the natural aging process. So that thinnest skin of the body is the first skin to stretch. It's the first area where, when the under eye infraorbital tissues stretch, the apple of the cheek starts to fall. So that's somewhere in your early 30s that you start to see that change. And definitely by the late 30s, 37, 38, you may have slight ptosis of the apple of the cheek. All of that weight puts drag and traction on the under eye. And that's one of the important things that we correct as injectors. Putting the apple of the cheek back up where it belongs removes the drag on the eye and improves the tired, drawn look of the eyes. Other causes of dark circles, so lack of sleep, we talked about hay fever and allergies, hyperpigmentation, this is so important because the body can be born with a tendency to produce excess melanin, or this can be hyperpigmentation related to inflammatory causes. But once you get dermal pigment deposited in this under eye area, this can be a very chronic problem. It's so important as an injector to distinguish dermal pigment from dark circles caused by other things. And you can best do this by pulling down on the skin of the eye and pulling it towards the nose or onto the cheek. And if that thin skin and the pigmentation travel, pull on the skin and pull it up towards the nose, down towards the cheek. If you see the pigment travel, it is tattooed in the skin. It's dermal pigment. It's very important to point this out to patients and even try this test on yourself, because, well, none of our fillers are going to work on that. We can only do bleaching treatments and chemical peels and laser treatments to improve dermal pigment that's tattooed in to this thin under eye skin area. I see this very often in my Arabic patients and Indian skin patients. It happens as well as in really pigmented skin types. And sometimes it happens in an area where they have chronic venous pooling. Just like venous stasis ulcers, when we see those on the legs, you'll notice that the skin, in addition to have bulging veins, also has brawny brown discoloration of the leg skin. Maybe you guys have seen that in your older friends, relatives, or patients. So it's that pooling that causes deposition of the pigment and needs to be treated with brightening agents. Vitamin C is one, kojic acid, arbutin, azelaic acid, hydroquinone. These are all the products that can be applied safely around and under the eyes. So I put patients very frequently on my amazing brightening pads, and they have all five ingredients actually. And you can wipe those on every night at bedtime. I use them and I let them sit a little longer in my under eye area to kind of penetrate. And you know, if you use those regularly, you can reduce the pigmentation quite nicely. Also think about frequent rubbing of the eyes. People who rub their eyes a lot can get darkness. So the anemia from iron deficiency, dermatitis, if you have eczema, dry skin, and irritation, sometimes eye drops that we use to treat glaucoma or eye drops like Latisse can cause pigmentation issues around the eyes as well. What are some home remedies? So getting more sleep is so important. Remember, raise your pillow just a little bit. Putting your head on an extra pillow may reduce dark circles because it does improve venous drainage and swelling around the eyes. Try not to sleep on your side because that causes compression of the veins, at least on one side, and increased wrinkles, crow's feet, and brow droop on the side that you sleep on. Think about using simple home remedies like green tea in tea bags is so beneficial. You boil your tea, you drink it, you use that tea bag to reduce your dark circles and alleviate puffiness. The caffeine, it really vasoconstricts and improves puffing. And the antioxidant qualities of the green tea promotes increased blood circulatory benefits and improvements of the skin. I love that with green tea, but also works with brown teas. Cold compresses to the eyes are also so beneficial. Sometimes we'll put those tea bags in the freezer and apply those, or cold cucumber slices, which provide relief and minimize puffiness. Remember, cucumbers are so rich in water. They're like putting on nature's own eye pads. They have a very rich water content. They contain silica, which is also vital for your skin tissues. Facials are helpful. You can definitely do a facial to improve circulation, gentle massage of the area. Lymphatic massage is one of the most important things I do twice a day, every single day when I'm applying my facial products and under eye products. Use your ring finger because it's so delicate, it's not going to stretch the tissues there. Be careful with makeup removers that stretch and put traction on the eye, and be careful with makeup pencils that you have to like drag on this delicate skin surface over time. Those repetitive traumas to the skin create stretching and wrinkles. And lymphatic massage every day improves puffiness of the under eye tissues, helps the venous drainage. If you've ever had filler anywhere in your face, I remind you that lymphatic massage is essential. Filler, as wonderful as it is not always 100% in the correct planes and can impact lymphatic blood flow. And specifically around the eyes, if filler was injected where it's not directly over periosteum and under muscle, the lymphatic flow can be affected. As you age in general, lymphatic flow is slowed down, drainage problems worsen, our kidneys don't process salt as well. So just remember, aging itself causes puffiness, edema, and lymphatic problems, and massage is one manual way to get rid of that. I love a good antioxidant skincare product. If I had known better, I would have started vitamin C, using a good eye cream, which is retinol-based. All these products I would have started on my under eye areas and my neck way, way earlier in life. I wish I had. Because now, looking at the tissue as it becomes more crepey and thin, the preventative things you do early on are so important. So my eye cream, our Revitalize eye cream, has Retin-A in it. It's one of the only eye creams that does. And I love that it has vitamin A, C, E, and a ton of green tea. So easy to use. You don't need a lot of eye cream. Just half of a grain of rice is enough. You don't want to plug the skin there and get milia or too much oil blocking the glands and get little white granules of milia there. But use your eye cream regularly. Whatever is left over on your ring finger goes on your perioral lines around the mouth so we don't get lipstick lines. Now, medically speaking, we can do so many things with under eyes. When you have fat pad protrusion, you need to have surgery. When you have excessive skin and laxity, you need to have surgery. And this is a blepharoplasty, whether for the upper eyelids, when you have skin hanging, we can tighten and trim with upper eyelid blepharoplasty, or for the lower lids, when we do a skin trim, or sometimes we'll take out infraorbital fat pads from inside the eyelid approach, or sometimes from outside the eyelid for skin tightening. Blepharoplasty is one of my favorite operations. It will immediately take 10 years off. It's about an hour and a half of surgery for the uppers and same for the lowers. And then patients do so well. It's 1 week of recovery time. Definitely something you should think of earlier than later. If I'm going to have surgery, I want to repair the skin when it's healthy and, you know, rigorous and its best condition for healing. It's very difficult when you're older to sew together tissue paper thin, crepey skin and expect to have an amazing, beautiful result. You'll have a good result, but it will be a better result if we treated that skin earlier when it had better skin quality, and it'll probably last longer and be stronger skin overall. So think about surgery early, not late. Like, don't wait till you're 85 and then do your eyelid surgery. Enjoy your life now. 55, 65, these are good ages to consider it. Some people who are born with excess lid or bags under their eyes do surgery earlier. 38, 45, these are the ages where people are starting to think of surgery. If you're not sure if you have fat pad protrusion or just puffiness, you can depress your eye gently. Look in the mirror, close one eye, gently blot on the globe, push down on the globe lightly. If you're not wearing contacts, that's fine to do. And you can notice the fat protrude. When you're young, your muscles are strong. They'll hold the fat in. Your skin is strong. It will hold fat, swelling, and tissues inward. As we age, the skin loses strength, just like our belly muscles become lax and the fat prolapses forward. So when you push on the eyeball, you'll see the fat prolapse forward. You can kind of see future fat prolapse that's going to happen to you early on if you depress the globe, and you'll see it there. I'm also a fan of filler under the eyes when there is thinning and for the right person. Filler under the eyes is overused, and too much filler is generally used. I took part in the Global Galderma Tear Trough Consensory Advisory Board meeting, which came up with an article which we published, which was the global recommendations for tear trough filler from a group of really accomplished experts. And in that meeting, we expressed that no one should ever get more than half a syringe of filler per eye in one setting. And we should definitely be using micro droplets of filler as we inject. Definitely using syringe quantities that are like 0.05 cc's or 0.1 cc aliquots in every injection site. And injections of filler in the under eye area are safest with cannula. So that's thin, very atraumatic device. It is not a needle. It deposits the filler like a needle, but without the ability to pierce blood vessels, and safer. 77% of the time, cannulas can prevent injury better than needles. And so it's possible to use needles as well when someone has the appropriate anatomy. Like a lot of fat pad protrusion, sometimes I will use a needle because it's less trauma than tearing through tissues with a cannula. And otherwise, we will use a cannula because it helps to prevent bruising. Remember that fillers should be placed in these small aliquot quantities. It should be placed deep to the muscle. It should be placed as atraumatically as possible with as few puncture marks as possible and nowhere near the eye, eyelid, the orbital fat. I'm always a fan of correcting bad under eye filler. As soon as I see that bluish discoloration or the hue of the Tyndall effect showing through the skin, I think that filler should be dissolved. I'm not the person who wants to add good filler on top of bad filler. And I think that we may find over time that all the fillers accumulate and cause excessive engorgement with long-term water swell and water retention and may need adjustment. But whenever we are placing filler in the under eye area, it's an off-label use for the majority of fillers. Only Vobella is FDA approved for the under eye area specifically. the other companies these products are used in an off-label fashion. So make sure you instruct your patient about that, and also make sure that you are prepared to reverse filler that doesn't look good and doesn't sit right. I tell patients 100% that the gold standard is surgery, not filler. So if they say, no, I don't want surgery, I want to do something less aggressive, we'll go to filler. But they need to understand in their head that filler is inferior for the most part to surgery. I like filler a little bit better than fat transfer, because fat transfer can be very patchy, irregular, and unpredictable. So it's one of those things that it can be controlled and given in a precise fashion. And if you've seen people who've had problems with fat transfer like I have, that's difficult to fix when you have lumps and bumps and irregularities in such a thin-skinned area. So think real carefully before you do fat transfer. Sometimes you don't get to think. Your surgeon just does it for you. But you should talk to them before surgery, because everything looks good in the fresh post-op period for the first 3 months, the first 6 months even, and it's after that, when the swelling goes down, that you can see these irregularities. So that's an important conversation. What are some less invasive things you can do? Well, microneedling and platelet-rich plasma injections, these stimulate the skin's natural healing. When platelet-rich plasma is harvested from your bloodstream and then applied, it gives this abundant supply of growth factors that improve tissue repair and rejuvenation. So you can do multiple sessions of platelet-rich plasma under the eyes, and that works great. But remember, it's just a fertilizer. You just sprinkle it in the garden. You don't see an amazing bloom the next day. It may take 3 or 4 weeks or months of doing these treatments before the garden actually matures and grows. So it's being very patient. I'm a fan of PRP, but I also feel that it does not give dramatic results. And the right person, the right number of episodes, really works nicely. PRF, or platelet-rich fibrin, products can also work great. They last a little bit longer because they're a congealed form of PRP, so the growth factors get trapped and also form sort of a solid residue or spongy area where tissue can ingrow and develop some nice padding. I like that as well. Be very careful. These products and treatments are not always benign. For filler, for surgery, for PRP, all of them have case reports of blindness and irregularities, lumps and bumps, and areas where pigmentation can form. So this is just the nature of life. There are risks. And if you don't want to take any risks, then you should just settle in and let Mother Nature take its course. But for the most part, we can control these risks, and we can see great providers, and we can get great results. If you don't want to go anything that's invasive or micro-invasive, like microneedling, you can think about peels. Chemical peels like glycolic acid peels can be used to improve hyperpigmentation. We can treat with pigment peels, which have ingredients like the acids, the kojic acid, the azelaic acid, lactic acid products, the glycolic acid products, as well as retinoic acid products. All of these things can improve pigmentation. You have the stronger peels like TCA, trichloroacetic acid, and phenol peels even, which can't go up to the very close eyelid, but just right under the eye. So laser is also effective. I'm a fan of pulse dye and diode lasers to reduce chances of scarring or adverse reactions. I'm also a fan of microneedling the upper lower eyelids as close as you can get to the, you know, about two centimeters away from the lashes. And then topical creams, amazing because you can do them every day, non-invasive. We talked about bleaching pads and bleaching creams. A small dose, low dose Retin-A around the eyes is possible to use once you're acclimated to it. Topical vitamin C, there can be an improvement of up to 10% improvement in brightening when we apply topical vitamin C to darkness in the under eye areas. So many different ways that you can improve your gorgeous, beautiful windows to your soul. The eyes are one of the most important features of the face. I want you guys to have brighter, refreshed under eyes, and I want you to work on it now. And that means more hydration, less caffeine in your life, taking your antihistamine, sleeping with your head elevated, doing your lymphatic massage, take your antioxidant vitamins and resveratrol orally, and don't forget your topical creams like my amazing Revitalize. Use your bleaching pads. So much homework that we have to do to stay young and beautiful. But believe me, you guys, you are worth it. You are magnificent, marvelous, awesome people out there. And I want you to feel so confident about every feature of your face. Definitely reach out if you have questions or concerns. You can find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same, www.beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find my Revitalize eye cream, which has the retinol, the Illuminize eye cream, which I love for the really dewy water content that you're going to get, and the smoothening goes great with makeup. And I also have wonderful bleaching pads. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful and outstanding and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Love you.